Let us pray. Almighty God, we are sincerely grateful of your presence with us now and ask that as we continue in our worship of you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Father, that you would cause us to hear you. And Lord, that we would worship you more. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your worship folder is a sheet. On one side are sermon notes, blanks that can be filled in. On the other side is a weekly devotion. I encourage you to take those out and follow along as we go through our sermon. If you're listening online, there's a downloadable PDF file with both of those documents on it. Do you remember the name of your first friend, when you were growing up? Now, some of you may remember a face, but not a name. Some of you may remember a name, but not a face. And some of you will remember both name and face. And then maybe some of you will say, what friend? As I have lived life, I note that I believe one of the deepest needs, one of the very deepest needs we all have from the time of birth until the time we die, is to be accepted. Is to be accepted for who we are and or be unconditionally loved. To be accepted and to be loved. I remember back in my elementary days, another boy named Scott, we were friends. Not to the point of going over to each other's homes yet, because I moved away pretty quickly after that, but someone I do remember as a friend in elementary school. And in high school, I drifted between some of my track and wrestling friends and a table of guys my twin brother hung out with. My closest friend, his name was Gary. Gary, he was a lineman in football and a heavyweight wrestler where we met. As juniors, we would go over to his house. They had a pool table. He turned on some rock and roll music, and we'd play pool. And after our senior year, he was the one who got me involved in becoming a summer camp counselor at a Lutheran-run summer camp. Late that fall, however, as we were about to start college, he was going away to somewhere else. We had a falling out and never really got back in touch until about 10 years ago, and that was through Facebook, and it was really only briefly. Friendships can be so sweet, and they can be so downright ugly at times. It raises the question for me, do we really need friends? Do we really need friendships to live a good life? And I think the answer is, yes, we do. And so I note that the Bible shows that we were designed to be friends. Sure, there are some people who will live their lives by themselves with no real friends or attachments to other people. But we were not designed that way. When I think about friendships, it seems to be the most important part of our existence. Not jobs, not how high we get up at the corporate ladder at work, not how good our kids turn out. It's about friendships. And when I think about what existed before creation, there was only God. And God reveals to us through the Bible of being the one true God, and yet within that one true God are three distinct divine eternal beings. And God goes on to reveal that these beings are known as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Co-equals in perfect, unconditional love relationship. And at some point in their existence, they decide to create a world and a solar system where there would be living things, plants, all sorts of different kinds of animals, whether they swim, fly, or roam the land. And above all these types of living creatures, the crowning achievement of God was yet to come. And then God said in Genesis 1:1, read it with me. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. You see, man was only part of the only part of creation created in God's image, created in God's likeness. And so we note that man was created like God so as to relate to God and God to man. It's about relationships. No other creatures were created in God's image except for man. And when Jesus came down to earth, it was in the image of a human, right? Now the man, or Adam, named all of the creatures as God said he should. And then there's this line in Genesis chapter 2. Read it with me. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And so from Adam's rib, God formed woman to be his helpmate, to be his equal, to be his complement, to be his friend. And it is in Genesis 3 we learn, it's in Genesis 3 we see how God walked in the garden to be with both Adam and Eve, to be in a relationship with them, to be in a long and abiding friendship. God didn't create Adam and Eve, essentially you and I and the rest of humanity, to be like ants in an anthill, to be watched or observed from a safe distance. Could you imagine Jesus? Father and Spirit look at them and what they do. Aren't they funny at times? And at other times, so foolish? Yet further on in Genesis, the Bible is clear how Abraham was called a friend of God. Life is about relating. And into the New Testament, Jesus calls his disciples his friends. Life is about friendship. And we note by God's design, friendship was the goal of God to people, people to God, and people to people. However, after the fall in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel, show how jealousy and hatred can ruin even the best of friends. And into Genesis 5, how the world can forget all about our friendship with God, who created them for relating to each other and for relating to God. This leads us to the overarching theme of the whole Bible, that God is seeking to be in a right and loving relationship. God is seeking us to be in a right and loving relationship, a friendship with God for all eternity. And when Jesus came, he reached out to all people, from the very well-to-do to the least of these, desiring that they would all be in a relationship with himself, God in the flesh, as well as with each other. And after Jesus, a Pharisee named Saul, whom we know today as the Apostle Paul, was trying to stop the church, these followers of Jesus, from helping people to be back into a right relationship with God. And when Jesus encountered Saul on the road to Damascus, in this encounter with Saul, Jesus set him straight on what he should be doing, which was helping people to develop a right relationship, a right loving and close friendship with Jesus, with God once again. The Apostle Paul finds this to be so important that he goes against his established elders and, in changing his life, lives his life from that day forward, helping people to discover and some to rediscover God. Not just to know God, but to be in a right and loving relationship, a developing friendship with God once again. It was his ultimate goal for the rest of his life. Paul desired, and we know, to help people enter into the most important friendship in life, which was with Jesus. I think our mission statement says it all. Sharing the journey to know, love, and serve God. Say that with me. Sharing the journey to know, love, and serve God. we are sharing a journey with God and with each other so that we can know God, so that we can know Jesus, so that we can know the Holy Spirit, love God and serve God. And in doing this, we'll develop friendships and relationships with each other. And I find, like Paul, as we travel this journey, as I travel this journey called life with you, I am thankful for you. You see, as Paul went on his missionary journeys, he spread the good news of Jesus Christ's sacrificial love and how through this love we could once again enter into a close and abiding relationship with God. And in doing so, he developed many friends, some who also began to share God's desire for us to be in a right relationship, a right friendship with God. Again, goal one is to be in a right relationship or a right friendship with God. Goal two would be to develop friendships with each other. Now, if we are designed to be in friendship with God and in friendship with others, how come it's so sweet at times and so hard at times too? Why can't friendships be wonderful like ice cream without being lactose intolerant too? Paul gives us a clue in his letter to his friends at Philippi, what I believe to be the key to developing good friendships with others. Read it with me. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very till now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're a believer in Jesus as the Son of God or not. These two principles that are packed into this verse are the same for any developing relationship or friendship. The first is simply to be thankful for others. To be thankful for others. Paul, in writing to his friends at Philippi, knows that he is thankful to God for them every time he thinks of them. To be thankful requires one to focus on the upside of others in whom they are in a relationship with. I know. Everyone would be thankful to God if they had a friend as good as me. That's what we think, right? But when I do think about my friends and my friendship, the question I ask based on this principle of being thankful is, do I take time to be thankful for others? Do you? Do you take intentional time to be thankful for others? When do you take that time to be thankful? Because it forces you to think in positive terms about others, not in negative terms. It seems too easy to diss someone for their shortcomings as if we have none of our own. And we forget altogether to be thankful for them. Friends, it takes positive effort to be thankful for someone. And that's just one side of the coin for being thankful. On the other side is this. When have you received a letter, email, or text from someone thanking you? That is someone which can lift your day too, especially if they're not just thanking you but are thankful for you. When someone says thanks to you or for you, isn't that a good thing? If I put my cell phone number up on the screen and ask you all to send me a text saying thank you for today's service, I sensed God today and really worshiped God today, that would really make me feel good, really needed, really satisfied with life, other than the thought that I asked you to do it. But when you do send notes of gratitude that are thankful for someone, We note that being thankful conveys some great feelings. Feelings of being important to someone. Feelings of being wanted. Of being valued. Even cherished. You see, what Paul says is so important. It seems to me that if we look back at those who have intentionally sought to hurt or harm others, especially people who have shot others or been involved in mass shootings, you'll probably find more likely than not that they're a loner. They probably never hear that someone is thankful to them or thankful for them. In their own lives, they're rarely thankful for others too. I thank my God every time I think of you. That principle number one, be thankful for others, will help you in developing friendships, especially when you convey that to them. And Paul goes on to say, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Principle number two. Paul takes that it is not just good enough to be thankful for his friends, but notes that Paul states that he prays for them. All of them. And along with being thankful, he prays with joy. Man, I know the prayers. God, would you fix so-and-so? Right? Isn't that the prayer we often lift up to God? Not, God, I am so thankful for. What? I'm important enough that you would pray for me? As I felt God's call on my life, there was an older couple. They were really old to me then. They were in their 50s. I've shared this story a little bit before. Remember, I was in my mid to late 20s at the time, and she said that they prayed for me. Who was I that they would pray for me? To me, they were very godly people, spiritually in tune with God, and they were praying for me? I felt somehow that I was more important to them and to God when I heard her say that to me. And when she has prayed for me, brought me and my needs to the Lord, wow. Wow. Did I feel valued? Did I feel cherished? Did I feel important and loved? Absolutely. As I look back on my life in regard to being prayed for, I remember it was a late Sunday night after youth group. During the fall, some friends and I had gone out to eat something for dinner, and Jim was dropping me off at my car afterwards in the church parking lot. Now, I don't remember what was going on in life at that moment, but there were some things that were weighing me down. As that soft rain fell that Sunday night, I asked Jim to pray for me. This is the first time I had ever asked anyone to pray for me after letting him know what was going on. And guess what? He didn't say to me, "Sure, Paul, I'll keep you in my prayers." No, we sat there in the front seat, and he and I together went before the Lord in that moment. To have someone praying for you, lifting up your needs to the Lord, there's nothing, nothing like it in the world. You know that you're important when someone prays for you in the moment. You're worth their time. Principle number two from Paul is pray for your friends. And also, you're yet to be friends. So when we understand God created us to be in relationship with others, when Paul opens up a letter to some friends and writes, "I thank my God for you and you're always in my prayers," he's giving us a hint on what we should be doing to develop friendships. To know relationships are more important in our lives than virtually any other thing. To be thankful for your friends, not just angry with them, and to have the ones that you're still developing, to be thankful for them and to be praying for them for their specific needs. These are aspects in our lives, if we're intentional to do, will help you to develop friendships and deepen them too. I wish we had time to talk about principle number 3 that Paul reminds us about, the concept that God has begun a good work in us and will carry it on to completion in Christ Jesus. That is, God's not done with me, and I know He's not done with you, so maybe we can just relax a little with each other. But alas, we don't have the time. I mean, I do. But I want to challenge you this week to be thankful to God for the people in your life. To be thankful to God for the people in your life. Take some time each day. In fact, on your sermon notes right now, mark a time when you're going to intentionally be thankful for people in your life. Maybe it's right way in the morning. Maybe I think times for being thankful are in the moment, especially when you're mad at them, and at the end of the day. Great times to be thankful for people in your life. Maybe just try that out for a week. Tell God who you're thankful for. Maybe it's for the construction workers that cause backups and delays. Be thankful. For emergency crews, for the person who just pulled out in front of you in your lane. And certainly you want to be thankful for friends and family. Also, if you want to take it a step further this week, pray for them. Yes, even say it out loud to God. Or even pray with them aloud. Look, to make a difference in their life by finding out what their needs are, especially if it's for more of God in their life, and then to pray for them. Wow! Man, is that conveying something? But whatever you can pray for them, just do it. Just do it. By doing these two simple acts, by following these two principles of Paul, and the third one we didn't have time with, to remember that God's not finished with any of us yet, you'll see that it makes a difference not so much in them, and maybe it can, but it will make a difference in you and who you are and the friendships that you provide to others. You gonna do it? You gonna be thankful for people this week? Are you gonna pray for people? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your word and for the Apostle Paul who reminds us to be thankful and to pray for others. Lord, that you have provided a way through thankfulness and through prayer that we can be the people you have called us to be. Lord, help us to be your friend and a friend to others. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,